you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
Hi, I'm Megan Botell, producer on the LAist Studios show How to LA. For the past few weeks, I've been working on a special series exploring how people are dealing with feelings of loneliness. According to the Surgeon General, we're dealing with an epidemic of isolation, and people in Los Angeles may be lonelier than most. Through this series, I've been exploring the depths of those feelings for people in all walks of life, and also digging into how folks are easing these feelings by creating connections and all sorts of communities around this city. And today, we're talking about the kind of connections one can make through physical group activities. Take a listen.
This is How to LA. I'm Brian De Los Santos. Today, we're back with another installment of our How Not to Be Lonely in LA series. And we're gonna get moving. Getting active in group settings has been shown to promote bonding and improve emotional and, of course, physical well-being. There are a lot of groups in LA to help you find these kind of connections too. How to LA producer Megan Botell is gonna take it from here.
All right, so we've been on this journey exploring loneliness and human connection for a while now. It's taken us all around this city, and it's introduced us to all sorts of Angelenos who've experienced something we all feel at times, isolation and a yearning to connect. And today, we're talking about the kind of connections one can make through physical group activities. Whether you're into salsa classes,
check one, two.
Sports leagues, mixed martial arts, or even ballet.
Lowering down, control the landing, and up, down.
In a city like LA, there are endless ways to move. And we'll be exploring some of these activities. But first, let's talk about why and how moving together might help us feel more connected and less alone.
Doing activities together, first of all, gets people into proximity. And that is one of the things that's kind of important for human friendship.
This is Jamie Krems.
We need to be face-to-face to make most friendships. That's just how we're made.
She's an assistant professor of psychology at UCLA, focusing on human friendship.
Doing activities together when we are face-to-face can increase these feelings of closeness, which might actually sort of set off an upward spiral of feeling close. So I feel close to you, and we do something together, which makes you feel close to me and value me. And the more that you value me, the more valuable you become to me. Because friendship is really about this idea of shared value to each other. We know that we will help each other out in a pinch.
She says there are a bunch of research-backed reasons why doing activities in rhythm together promotes such closeness.
So there are two things going on here that might be referred to as parts of the social glue. One is this idea of behavior matching. Maybe I mirror you or mimic you a few seconds after you cross your legs, I cross my legs. And we know that that can lead to feelings of rapport. And then there's this behavior of synchrony, which is really about actions that are matched in time and rhythm. It's a coordination kind of thing. And we also have pretty good data to suggest that behavioral synchrony can lead to feelings of higher closeness with the people we're in sync with, higher feelings of something called entitativity, which is a feeling like you're in a group with your partner, maybe higher levels of trust with that person, and perhaps even being more cooperative or pro-social toward that person or those people. And that's particularly the case when you're in sync in larger groups. We have this idea for a long time that activities that are physical when you're moving in time and rhythm with people, like at a concert or a religious experience or in sports, somehow leads to closeness. And what people have done more recently is follow up this anecdotal idea with experimental evidence. So for example, if I asked you to tap a visual metronome on a computer in front of me, and I was tapping at the same time, you would feel closer to me than if I was tapping asynchronously or not at all. So there is something about synchronous behavior and movement that really seems to galvanize these relationships and potentially promote something that we'd call self-other overlap in neural representation.
So basically, while these physical, somewhat sporty activities can be great, the type of bonding that leads to friendship can happen just by doing something super simple in synchrony with another person or group.
Having friends, I should say, is considered the next best thing you can do for your health behind quitting smoking. The data suggests that friends are really important for your health. They potentially uniquely combat loneliness, and they might lead to longer life, quicker recovery from surgery, lower stress in the body, and they're even related to feelings of higher well-being, greater thriving, and potentially economic mobility. Most of the work on loneliness is about feeling like you don't have relationships that meet your needs. And not all of it has really distinguished whether you feel lonely because you lack friends or you lack romantic partners. But what I'd suggest is that, and this is certainly true if you have any married friends, married people can still feel lonely. Those with genuine friends rarely do. That's not to say that you can't feel alone in a room of people. We know that that's true. But genuine friends seem to potentially uniquely combat loneliness. So to give one example, in a study of older men in Sweden, I believe, their rate of heart attacks was lower if they had friends, regardless of whether or not they were in romantic relationships.
Jamie says that both in the research world and just in the social zeitgeist, people tend to underestimate the power of friendship and sort of forget that friendships are valuable.
It is like a computer running a program that is necessary for it to stay on and do its job, but we forget that that program is running. We are so well designed to engage in social behavior that we forget that we are engaging in social behavior and solving really difficult social problems until we start to fail at them. And that fits with the fact that we are just now starting to realize, at least in the media and somewhat in academia, how important friendships are, because people are now really failing at them.
So we need friends, and moving together in synchrony is a great way to find and keep them. After a short break, we'll get into one really popular option here in LA.
I feel 100% better than I did before I started playing pickleball.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Hi, I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, and we are back for another round.
this is clearly an NPR audience.
Yeah, I think they're so smart. Just, what the hell?
My guests this time are actor Vella Lavelle and author Amanda Montell, whose new book, The Age of Magical Overthinking, is out now. Join us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum for book talk, trivia, and hot takes. Tickets can be found at laist.com/events.
The emotion that comes up is sort of like depression.
This is Mika Mumper.
I really felt like I was, and my wife would say the same thing, that we were in a funk, that we were sort of stuck doing the same things every day, you know, not really having a good time, just sort of going through the motions.
He responded to a survey that we put out at the start of the year, asking people about feelings of loneliness and how they were working through them.
I was living in New York previously, and I moved to Long Beach because I got a job here.
He and his wife moved to Long Beach around 5 years ago. He said until recently, they felt very isolated and really didn't have a community.
We sort of stuck to ourselves for a while. After leaving college, you know, there's not really a great way to start meeting people and making friends. We didn't really know anyone except for my brother who lived in Orange County. I met some people at work initially, but then the pandemic sent everyone home. So suddenly I was working remote. You know, it was kind of lonely for a while where we were just sort of stuck in the house. And you know, I love my wife, nothing wrong with that. But I was sort of looking for more people to spend time with and to find other activities to do and to get out of the house for. So it was kind of a dark place, not a very fun place. We came to a point where we got into a big fight. And I think the next day when we reconciled, we realized we weren't upset at each other. We were just sort of upset at what we had let our lives come to and that we needed to make some changes.
But then he found something that would surprisingly shake him out of that rut.
I joined the Pickleball League a few months ago, probably around October, just sort of on a whim. I mentioned that my brother, he's really into pickleball. And it completely changed his whole sense of community as well. He has a bunch of friends. I went to his 40th birthday recently, and 90% of the people there were people he had met through pickleball. And so I was like, wow, he's really made a ton of friends through this sport. And they were all super friendly, and I wanted that for myself. There was a neighbor of mine who I'd watched her dog a few times and seemed like a really nice person, didn't really have an opportunity to hang out with her. And I just sort of offhandedly asked if she wanted to play pickleball because my wife wasn't really into it at the time. And I wanted a partner to play with. And she accepted, and it sort of took off from there. Both in my relationship with my pickleball partner, who was someone I sort of didn't know very well, but now I consider a really close friend, and all the people I've met since playing pickleball, I've really expanded the number of people I've known in my neighborhood tenfold. It's really fun to show up every week and see the same people. They know my name now and I know their name. Now I think I'm really hitting my stride, and pickleball has been a really big part of that because it gets me out of the house. It gets me around other people, and it's been a really big change in my life, and I'm really, really happy that I took the initiative to start going.
So, pickleball. We've all heard about it. It's definitely been having its big moment the past few years. It's kind of like tennis, kind of like badminton, and people, especially here in LA, are fanatical about it.
It's kind of a joke in pickleball where the more knee braces that you see on someone, the more likely they will win.
This is Sana Kim Davis. She's the marketing director at the Santa Monica Pickleball Center.
Why is that?
They just know the game better. The difference about this sport is that it's not really a pure power sport. There's a lot more strategy involved, so you'll see a lot more age groups, a lot more personalities meshing, and that's kind of the beauty of it all. We have the biggest pickleball paddle wall in the country, an indoor dink court, and also premium courts in the back where we have a lot of lessons, like beginner classes, clinics, live ball, where you'll see 14-year-olds go up against 70-year-olds.
Why do you think pickleball is blowing up recently?
Kind of. Everyone has missed the human connection aspect of it all, especially with the pandemic. So being able to play a sport where you're meeting new people every day, where party lines are like socioeconomic, doesn't really matter. You're just there to play, to connect, to have fun, to learn and grow better, is kind of why everyone enjoys sport so much. It's like the open play aspect where you're playing with people you have no idea like their skill level, who they are, what they are, and then you just go down and paddle down and just play the game. Part of what's great about the Pickleball Center here is that we consider a community outreach one of our most important pillars. So we sponsor the local club here. You'll see people learning and teaching people how to play pickleball every day. You'll see more advanced players. The skill level doesn't really matter, and people are just there to enjoy the sport and to connect with each other.
So I want to emphasize this feeling of community, and that for some reason, maybe more so than other sports, pickleball people are really there for each other, on and off the court.
More recently, actually, there was an arson incident at the local park where somebody may have set fire or an incendiary device to the shed that held all the equipment. It happened in the middle of the night. We found out about it since the community is so small. So, you know, the alarm bells went out. We set up a fundraiser. The next morning, we raised over $2,000. We reached out to our suppliers, got them new equipment and nets and everything in the span of a day. But it really goes to show you how much people care about each other, even though it's just a sport with a wiffle ball. It's really crazy. Like, people really do come together for the sport. It's like all of our friends are like 90% pickleball. You like can have people just doing the nicest things for you because they just play pickleball with you every once in a while. Like, we've made a lot of friends through the sport, so it's been really nice.
When I get on the court, I feel just a lot of excitement. I really look forward to working on my skills. I'm still a beginner, but there are lots of beginners. It's, you know, it's not too late to start playing pickleball. So we're all sort of learning together. And when someone gets a really nice shot, everyone cheers and goes crazy.
Oh, that was so good!
And you know, when you completely miss the ball, you don't, you know, it's okay because the person right after you probably just miss it as well. So there's just a lot of fun. I think that's the word I would just use to describe. One of the people who is the drill instructor had a birthday recently. Of course, he celebrated it at Syncopated Brewing because he goes there for the pickleball and pints. And I was invited and was able to hang out with him sort of outside of a normal, just regular interaction. So it's nice to build community like that, sort of building friends. And my pickleball partner, Amber, I went to a Super Bowl party at her house, and I probably wouldn't have done that if we weren't playing pickleball together. So I'm really starting to develop relationships with people and friendships that I hope will last a long time.
And how has having this community impacted your kind of day-to-day experience?
In my day-to-day experience, I think this community gives me something to look forward to. I know on Wednesdays and Sundays, you know, I'm going to be playing some pickleball. And so it gives me, you know, in the middle of the workday when things are dragging, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play some pickleball today. So it gives me a goal. It gives me something to anticipate throughout the week. And just having a group of people there to whenever you see them and you show up and everyone's like, yay, let's play some pickleball. It's a really fun place to be. I feel 100% better than I did before I started playing pickleball. I feel not as depressed. I feel a whole different view of, you know, of my abilities to go out and socialize. I guess I want to say I it's given me this new confidence to go and talk to people and to feel not so isolated by myself. I feel more open to just striking up conversations with people, you know, in the movie theater or the grocery store. I just feel less by myself and more willing to just risk a conversation with a stranger. And I think those small interactions are really, really kind of special.
that is it for us today, folks. Thanks for listening. This episode is produced by Megan Botel. Catch you next time. Hasta luego. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
As a farmer's son from a desert region in California, J.B. Hamby thinks a lot about water.
I spent a lot of time digging up history, particularly about water, which is the origins of the Imperial Valley.
How this 28-year-old became the youngest lead negotiator on the Colorado River ever, and how he could shape the most consequential negotiations to date. Listen to Imperfect Paradise, the Gen Z water dealmaker, wherever you get podcasts.